Hello, and welcome to Point and Drink Adventure, a podcast where we talk about the drinks and the media that we are consuming. I am Pam, and with me, as always, is the lovely Michelle.
Hi, Pam.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well. A little tired. I just got back from the climbing gym. So
active.
Like, run and get ready and make drinks and get this dog figured out.
Aw, poor Lily with her treat ball back there. Aw.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So cute.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I had a pretty good day at work today, and I watched a couple movies and made a drink. Mm-hmm. With these beautiful, look at these beautiful little cups. Ooh. We have with these beautiful little pinkish drink. Wow. Love it.
Yeah. I'm just using those glasses that I got from Nespresso, the free ones, for the first time, I think.
Oh, they're so beautiful. I'm so jealous.
They're so nice. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm just going to tip it over, though. It seems precarious while mm-hmm. I hold it.
But they're so pretty, so it's okay. I love the shape of yours because yours is much more sharp as a bowl than mine.
Yeah,
mine's more like the shape of a boob.
Yes. What is in these glasses?
What is in these beautiful glasses? So what we're drinking today are paper planes. This was actually Pam's suggestion for a cocktail because mm-hmm. you said you were just feeling like a cocktail and you looked up good bourbon drinks, right?
Yeah, I was looking for a bourbon cocktail specifically, and then I found this one, and I was like, I have all these things. I wouldn't have to buy any more liquor.
It's perfect. That's what we need. That's exactly what we want. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So what are in these things? A paper plane. I actually had never made a paper plane when I was behind a bar. Like, I don't know why. That's not necessarily a drink that people go for, but it is like a variation of called the last word, which is a old like prohibition cocktail, which that one's based out of gin. So this one, just bourbon, just switch things up a bit. So 3/4 ounce of bourbon, 3/4 ounce of Aperol or Campari, but Aperol a little bit for the sweetness because Aperol is a little bit sweeter. 3/4 ounce of Amaro Nino Contessa or any kind of like Amaro like that. And then 3/4 ounce of lemon juice, shake, and pour into a beautiful coupe glass. Isn't that lovely?
Mm-hmm.
How does it taste?
It has a beautiful color. It tastes delicious. I love that it's just equal parts of everything. Like the lemon definitely cuts through all the booze because that's all it is otherwise. But yeah, it's good. It's nice and tart and a little bit sweet, but also a bit strong. It's kind of a bit of everything.
Yeah. But I like how the strong, it's very boozy, but it doesn't feel like I'm drinking straight whiskey. You know what I mean? Like it has citrusy, fruity elements to it that doesn't feel so heavy. Like it still feels like a nice, light, springy drink. I mean, we're getting into warmer weather today. It's like, oh, it's so springy. mm-hmm. But I love it.
Yeah. It's very good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really see how this is a variation of the last word. I saw that in there, and I saw its ingredients. I was like, huh? How does that work?
I mean,
we're just going to take this drink and change everything. And let's call it a variation.
But, like, the gin, like, you have your base alcohol, like being bourbon, gin, vodka, those, like, the big main ones, the ones that are going to be higher in proof. And then with the last word, you have green chartreuse, which is our replacement for the Aperol, surprisingly. So you'll have a little mm-hmm. bit more greenish tinge to it instead of a red. And then mm-hmm. Luxardo in place of your Amaro. So Luxardo is like this like cherry-ish kind of less alcohol fruity like an Amaro is, although Amaro's tends to be a little bit bitter. And then that one is also with lemon. So its idea is the same. Like I say, variation in like the slight words. But again, like most cocktails mm-hmm. are the base of like five other base cocktails. So like,
yeah,
I love this. This is great. I'm so glad you suggested mm-hmm. this. It's pink and beautiful. And we love pink drinks here.
This is good.
Mm-hmm. Although I guess we could have done the last word because it is St. Patrick's Day coming up. Probably St. Patrick's Day has passed since this has come out. But yeah, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. But. But that's okay. I don't like green chartreuse. Getting green chartreuse is expensive, so fuck that shit.
Yeah, and it seems like a thing I wouldn't want to have in a lot of drinks.
No. Like, you get a little bottle and it's like $50, and I'm like, well, that thing's going to last me like 5 years mm-hmm. at least. And I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
Eh. Just not a fan. Mm-hmm. I went a little heavy. Look, I'm already halfway. I went in heavy and did an ounce of each, because if we're going to be equal parts, just fucking be equal parts. So we're going to have to take more breaks.
Well, I did an ounce and a half of everything. So I just doubled it, but I only poured half of it in my glass. So I still have half in the fridge.
Oh, that's a good idea. That's what I was thinking. I was like, I should make this a double or like mm-hmm. triple or something in order to do this. But anywho, I feel like this episode is going to be the movie episode.
I think so, because we have been watching so many movies, very few games. We finally like added a few in the last few days, but just all the movies.
All of the frickin' movies. And like random movies too. Like there's no method to this madness.
They run the gamut.
Yeah.
All right. So what have you watched?
Well, I guess it makes sense I'll go first. I just recently watched a new movie. I went to a theater. It was... I mean,
that's like the second time in 2 weeks or something.
I know, right? I left the house. Okay, first off, this movie mm-hmm. should have been released like its predecessor, just on HBO Max. I went and saw Dune Part 2 in the theater. Mm-hmm. And I just went up to some local theater up the street, whereas Advent Children, I went to like the big mall, you know, up a ways, like a travel a bit. This one, uh-huh. I just went like, you know, 10 minutes up the street. Man, that theater mm-hmm. sucked. Oh my God. Oh. The chairs were so uncomfortable. They were squeaky. You know, when you like move at any time, you're like, squeak. Yeah. I'm like, ugh, gross.
Yeah. It's been a while, but last time I went to a theater and it hadn't been, I think it was when I saw John Wick 3, and it was one of the big theaters, like Cineplex or something, but it wasn't one of the ones that had redone it to stadium seating. So it was just like almost flat with just like the chairs that just come to your shoulders and they don't really rock. And I was just like, oh, it's been a long time since I've been in this kind of theater.
It's gross. Why spend $15 for this bullshit? And then I'm mm-hmm. sitting in the theater and next door is another playing of Dune. And I can hear mm-hmm. it starting hear it. After ours. And I'm like, mm-hmm. like, no, I hate that. I hate how you can just hear the sounds coming through the wall and stuff. So, fuck a theater. Mm-hmm. Like, I went on a Monday, so thankfully it wasn't crowded at all. There was like 10 people maybe in the theater, so no screaming children, thankfully, but it was definitely not That's a great good. Experience. The movie itself, though, so mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of Dune. I love Dune. I love the David Lynch Dune. I love the book Dune. I love Jodorowsky's Dune documentary. Anything Dune, I fucking love it. I think the story is interesting. It's very political, intrigue, kind of mm-hmm. like not like, I mean, Game of Thrones rips this off, but like the whole like Game of Thrones political intrigue kind of vibe to it, I absolutely love. Mm-hmm. I love the sci-fi-ness of it. Like, oh, the spice. The spice is what makes this time, not time travel, travel through space. So we need it. It's only on this planet, a desert where there's worms and it's I love everything about Dune. So going into this movie, I really loved the first Dune by Denis Villeneuve. Mm-hmm. Saw it at HBO Max in my happy little house. It was great because it was COVID time. God, I wish they did that again. But, mm-hmm. but I really loved the first Dune. So going into this one, probably still high expectations. I'm a big fan of Denis Villeneuve himself. I think Sicario is a great movie. Blade Runner 2049, whatever the new one with Ryan Gosling. Whatever fucking year that is, I don't know. So mm-hmm. this Dune takes place once Paul hits the desert. So it's like, it's literally like the sequel, I guess. He's in the desert, he meets Chani, and then he figures out how to pretty much deal with the evil empire, the Harkonnens, and take back and get revenge and figure out, like, have this internal struggle of, is he the Kwisatz Haderach, you know, the chosen one? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's Dune. Like, this, if you don't know the story of Dune, I can't explain it in 2 minutes, nor do I ever fucking try, because there's just so many complicated things. The movie itself is gorgeous. Absolutely stunning cinematography and effects, beautifully done. I think what the second one lacks, what the first one did, was a little bit more, not direction, but like a little bit more political intrigue, because it feels like it loses it a bit. It goes more in the direction of more action-y, and
okay,
it veers away from a couple things from the book, which again is fine, because we're, you know, it's a movie. We don't have to be one-to-one to the book, because the book itself is very dense and kind of difficult. I could see it being very difficult to translate to screen. But I feel like there was just something missing in the second one that you got in the first one. Mm. That sort of intrigue, that sort of, like, there's some, like, character motivations, I'm just like, that doesn't feel right. You know what I mean? Like, he has internal struggles with himself, but then his mom pushes him a lot to be the chosen one. And I don't know. It's just too much pushing for these things.
You're right.
And my biggest complaint is I did not like the chemistry between Chani and Paul. So Zendaya. I'm going to say her name wrong.
Now I know, I knew her name, and then you said it wrong, and I was like, "Do I know her name?
I don't know her name. You know her name,
Zendaya. I think
Zendaya.
Fuck. I literally, if you hadn't said it, I would have been like, "This is her name." But now I'm like, "Oh, my brain is broken."
Yeah, I broke it. Her and Timothée Chalamet. Oh my God, why I've had to have so bad with the Chalamet. I did not like their chemistry at all. Like, I didn't feel believed at all between them. So yeah, it was still good. I think it's a very well done movie, a really good adaptation of Dune. I just think its predecessor was better. Do you like Dune? You seen any of the Dunes ish
I've seen the Lynch Dune a few times, which I really enjoy. I mean, it's got a fantastic cast. I liked it a lot. I really like the Dune game on Sega CD. It's a really cool representation of that that kind of combines point-and-click adventure with, like, strategy, real-ish time strategy, which is really cool. So I read the book a long time ago. So I don't know, like, I don't have a great memory of the book, but I remember I did like it, and then it was just very dense. I think I read it in high school or something. So, but yeah, I enjoy the whole story of Dune. Yes.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I just, something was missing, and then maybe I also need to, like, I just need to sit down one day whenever it comes onto HBO Max and watch both of them back to back.
Watch both of them.
Yeah, I think it'd be a better experience for that, at least for me. I guess I could have done that here, but. That I guess just watch it here and then watch it in a fucking theater. No, like, I want to watch it sitting down back to back. So someday, but it was good. So what have you been watching?
So I decided to watch a bunch of movies because I had been watching a bunch of bad TV or TV I'd watched a lot of. I'm actually surprised I don't have Love is Blind in here because I watched so much of that. But when I went on my movie journey, I was just on Netflix, like, going around, and it's like, Crossroads, the Britney Spears vehicle. I was like, I never saw this when it came out. Like, I'm a fan of Britney. I think her music is great. But I never saw the movie, so I decided this was a good movie. It was only 90 minutes, which is, like, perfect. This is what I'm going to start out with on a lazy Saturday. So, yeah, this is the story of three girls. They're, like, in their last year of high school. They're just graduating high school. And it starts out when they're 10 and they're best friends, and they make this promise that they're going to dig up this box they buried together. But then over the years, they've grown apart. And Brittany is the perfect straight-A student who's going to be a doctor, which I don't want to judge. But I was like, really? Okay. And then Zoe Saldana is like the prom queen, and she's already got her school figured out, and she's already engaged to someone.
Fuck that shit. 18 years old, you're engaged.
And this is fine. Mm-hmm. And then the other one, and I forget the name of this actress, she's always typecast as like a teen mom or a meth head or a hooker.
Tyron Manning. Basically, in every. I think it's Taryn Manning.
Taryn Manning. Yeah, that's her name. So she is a pregnant
teenager.
Yeah. So none of them are really friends anymore, but they get together, and Taryn Manning's like, I'm going to California to try out to be a singer. And then they all decide to go for some reason. They all decide.
They just
take this road trip across the country, driven by this hot boy who they think is maybe a murderer, but that doesn't really go anywhere. And Brittany has her coming of age when she loses her virginity and steps away from her father and becomes a singer.
Obviously. Performs karaoke in Louisiana, and all of a sudden the things click. Yep.
Things click. That's what she wants. So you watched this one too, just today.
Just today, just before this podcast, because I had saw you put this on the sheet first, and I was like, I looked at it and I went, wait, the Britney Spears movie? And then I messaged you, the Britney Spears movie? And you're like, yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm watching this. Like, so I made it a point to watch it before we recorded this podcast.
Yes.
And oh my God.
I'm so glad you did.
I am not disappointed.
No. It was, honestly, it was fun. Like, it was a fun movie. The soundtrack was good. Like, all of the songs were amazing. I felt bad. I know it was a Britney Spears vehicle, but, like, Taryn Manning, it was her dream to go and do this. And then Britney's just like, no, this is me. And so the other girl, she just, like, has a miscarriage. And the other girl was like, oh, my fiancé raped the pregnant girl? Like, that. So everything goes pretty shitty for the other two friends. But for Britney, it's just like, I found a cute boy and now I have a record deal.
I'm fine. My mom left me when I was 3. That was the worst thing that happened to me. That's like her thing. I was like, oh my God. Like, they're all like having a chit chat around like in the hotel. And it's like every girl's story gets worse and worse. And I was like, oh my God, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah, that story didn't go very far. But, you know, she's like, oh, my mom left and just my dad. Dan Aykroyd, in his second role as a single father, unequipped for raising a daughter after my girl.
Ah! I was like, which one?
Yeah, but she goes and she visits her mom, who's Kim Cattrall, and she's just like, oh, she gave me up because she didn't want to have kids. But she's like, oh, but she has kids now. And then Brittany is sad. But then she just kind of goes on with her life.
And then she said, I'm fine. It's fine now. Everything is fine.
It's fine now.
Oh, my God. It was so, it was so insane, this movie. This movie takes such crazy turns. It's so ridiculous. But it is so fun. Like, it is bad in the best possible way. It's one of those kind of movies. Like, the acting, horrible. I mean, even across the board, even I think like Zoe Saldana, who I think is a very good actress, just like, I got nothing for you, babe.
No one was good. No one's, her accent was definitely questionable.
She started off Southern, and then by the end, she no longer
had
an accent.
And then by then, she wasn't Southern anymore.
No longer Southern. Yeah. So I don't know what happened there. Mm-hmm. I think Tyra Manning probably did the best job out of all of them. I mean, the entire cast. Mm-hmm. But even then, it's not great. And I mean, it's just so ridiculous and fun. And it's a movie to watch.
And also, it ends with bloopers, which I love. Anytime a movie ends with bloopers, of like automatic like plus one score.
Britney Spears is singing in this cute little crop top with the most amazing sleeves. Like, she's singing in the same. Like, I want that blouse.
Yeah, that was a nice blouse. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Maybe not with the booty shorts, but I love the blouse.
Yeah. But that was a fun movie. I'm surprised I never watched it as a teenager, but I'm glad I finally have filled that hole in my cultural repertoire.
Yeah, I'd never seen it either, so I was so glad when you watched it, because that pushed me to watch it, because I was like, I've always heard how bad it is, but I didn't realize how amazingly bad it is. Like,
it's
great. I had so much fun watching it. It was so fun.
I had a lot of fun.
I was like, what is that? The guy is driving these three incredibly gorgeous women across the country, and he has the biggest hissy fit because they start driving his car when he took a nap.
His car.
And he has this huge hissy fit. He has him pull over, start stomping in the desert. He's like, I just need some guy time. I'm just hanging out with the three girls all the time. And this is my car. It's like, dude, you are with.
I need one place where my masculinity is intact.
It's like, please. You are driving around as a 20-year-old man, or however old he is in this fucking movie, with three incredibly gorgeous women. Like, calm down, first off.
Calm down.
It was so funny. Like, you cannot be mad at these three hot women who are just like, just driving, singing to fucking Shania Twain down the road.
Shania Twain and NSYNC and
and Sheryl Crow. Like, oh my God. So funny. But good choice, Pam. I'm so glad you picked that.
Thank you. Me too. I'm so glad it popped up on Netflix. Like, yes. This has to be done. What else have you watched?
Well, now I'm going to shift gears to a more boring movie.
Okay.
So, context. I watched Grand Prix. So, Grand Prix is a movie made in the 60s by John Frankenheimer. John Frankenheimer's a director who's one of his other movies that he directed was The Train with Burt Lancaster. And it's one of my favorite movies of all time. Love this movie. It's in black and white. It's about this like French resistance in World War II trying to stop the Nazis at the end of World War II from stealing all of France's like art. So like from Cézanne, Degas, like all these paintings, just trying to stop them from stealing it. Amazing movie.
Right.
This is a movie also made in the 60s about Formula One Grand Prix in the 60s, which apparently is very dangerous. Like, people died at least once a year back then, just because you see these cars and they are just like rockets with no protection. They're like,
is Formula One those like weird, like long cars?
Yeah, with the open top. They have no open top. Yeah. They're just wearing the helmets and they're like big and long, like the big wheels on the side. Mm-hmm. So in the 60s, they're a little bit slimmer. They're not as wide, but they have no. Like, I was reading afterwards, like, they didn't even have, like, seat belts so you could actually be launched out of the car, so that's apparently better.
Jesus.
Yeah, so one person died. Yeah, apparently. Which is foreshadowing this movie, like, because that's how somebody dies in the movie. Spoiler alert, but who cares? It's a 50-year-old movie. I don't care. So it's about a season of a Formula One. It starts in Monaco. It is... So this movie overall is about just a season, about this one guy, James Gardner, and him and a couple other racers. I love James Gardner. A couple other racers and their like melodrama bullshit about like their wives and such and them racing. That stuff's all boring. The story itself, absolutely boring, too melodramatic. The real meat of this movie is the cinematography. The shots that they did on like... It's the 60s, and they have a camera on the front of the car, and James Gardner is going 150 miles per hour, and you can he is going 150 miles per hour. It's insane, the shots that they do and the cinematography of the races. I was like, can this be the whole movie? Like, excuse me. So,
yeah.
I'm so excited about it. I'm choking. Hold on. But so you have these incredible shots. And then the meat of the movie is really boring. So it's 3 hours. So it's a struggle.
3 hours.
3 hours.
A 3 hour car racing movie?
Mm-hmm. And I love John Frankenheimer, but just watch them shoot this, just I don't know, on YouTube or something, see the scenes of the car racing, and you got the movie. You don't need to see the melodrama between the wives and this one guy, and the realization that it's the fucking 60s and these film cameras on the front of these cars. And I was reading that John Frankenheimer was thinking about, like, slowing it down so it made it look like they were going fast, you know, like camera tricks and such, but it didn't look realistic. So he said, fuck off, we're going 150 miles an hour. And they were had to, like, some of the actors were like, I'm never doing that again. Whereas James Gardner loved it. Wow. He had a field day. Can you imagine 150 miles that per hour?
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. But so I like that director. Did not really like the movie, but the cinematography is well worth the watch. So yeah.
Nice.
What else have you been watching?
So, this was a double feature with Crossroads for me, but the next thing I watched was The Nice Guys, and this is directed by Shane Black, who hasn't directed a ton, but he did Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which I really like. He also did Iron Man 3, which a lot of people don't like, but I really liked Iron Man 3, although you should have cut at least like 40 minutes out of it. But other than that, I really liked Iron Man 3. So this is about Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling, and they're both private investigators, and a big porn star apparently commits suicide, and then someone else is looking for a missing woman, and they're kind of at odds, but then they end up working together and unveiling a big conspiracy. It's like very, you know, sort of modern film noir, just like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is, with like a story that can get a little convoluted at times. But it was so good. It was like the script and the acting were amazing. Ryan Gosling, I didn't know this, but like amazing at physical comedy. Like he was so good in this.
I've seen this movie a couple years ago and I remember absolutely loving this. So yeah.
Yeah. So it was good. Like funny. It was exciting. Sometimes a little confusing. It has like everything. It's got like the taut women and like bumbling men and comedy and the precocious child and just like everything, but it's all done really well.
Yeah, I think Shane Black is a great, he actually start, because I only know this because I absolutely love Predator, but he was the screen, he was did like edits and revisions for Predator. And one reason why he's actually in the movie Predator, he's like the nerdy guy with the big glasses, if you've seen Predator. And they had him cast so he would be on set to do script revisions because he was also working on, I think it was Lethal Weapon. I think he's also the screenwriter for Lethal Weapon or some other big movie like that. So, yeah, I love his scripts specifically. So him doing like this kind of movie is just like, I love it. I loved Nice Guys whenever I saw it a couple years ago. I do need to rewatch it. I just prioritize Crossroads over Nice Guys. I feel like it was a good choice.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it's very good. I'm not going to spoil that one like I did with Crossroads. But yeah, I definitely recommend The Nice Guys if you haven't seen it, if you like that sort of noir kind of movie.
Yes, watch it.
What else did you watch?
Well, we watched now the last two movies. Well, I did we watched. But the other movies, I have other watch things too. But we watched together because Pam is apparently never seen.
Pam.
It's all Pam's fault. We've apparently never seen Fargo by the Coen brothers. And I was like, oh, be still my heart. We're watching this. Oh my God.
Apparently I've never seen any Coen brothers movie if you ask some people, which is not true.
Besides like, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, right? Is that the one?
Maybe. Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, True Grit, Big Lebowski, you know, a few.
You've seen a few. I've never realized how many movies they actually did, to be honest. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
We started like looking at their filmography, or Dylan was talking about all the movies they did. I was like, oh, they did that? Oh?
Yeah. Okay. That's a lot.
I was so surprised.
Yeah.
So, if you haven't seen Fargo, it was won Best Picture in like 96 or whatever year it came out. It's amazing. It is about this really fumbling husband who wants to have his wife kidnapped so he can get the ransom money from his wife's father because he's got a lot of money. And apparently he's not really good with money and he's in trouble. And he has deals he wants to get and he needs to borrow lots of money. Mm-hmm. He's just a fucking idiot.
We never find out what he did. Like, what?
Yeah. You never find out, like, why he's in such financial troubles, which I kind of like, because then you just really, because the movie just plays it out like he's just a hopeless idiot, and he's just
kind of a dummy.
He's just an idiot, and but a lovable one too, you know, at the same time, weirdly.
I mean, it's William H. Macy, so he's just got, like, a nice likeable face, like
and then he's doing that like South Dakota or North Dakota accent. Oh, don't you know? Oh, yeah.
Oh, heck.
Oh, heck. Oh, don't you? Yeah. Get some crowlers. So of course the kidnapping goes wrong and craziness ensues. I mean, if you haven't seen this movie, it's a classic. I've never felt cold before in my life until you watch this movie and the desolate landscape of North Dakota and Minnesota. Oh, you never want to live there. Never, ever. But
it looks so cold.
It looks so cold. But I've seen this a million times and I love this movie. Pam, what is your review of Fargo? How do you feel about it?
I really liked it. It had, the story was fairly simple. It didn't go into a lot of details, as we said, about like why he needs this money or what's going on. But it was just like all the performances really good. I loved Frances McDormand in this as just this hugely pregnant cop who just like eats and then does some police work. And she's just like so chill. Like she's just like, oh, you know, she finds people doing horrible things and she's just like, oh, yeah, guess we're doing this now. Like, it's yeah.
She's so smart and so chill about it. I love when she calls out her partner and she's like, well, I'm not really agreeing with your police work there, Joe, or whatever his name is. Like, no. DLR? Yeah. What do you mean, dealer plates? He goes, oh. I love the characters in this movie. I love Frances McDormand's husband so much. He's so in love with her. It makes me just like, oh, he's so cute. Oh, I love this movie. Oh, that's I'm so glad sweet. We watched it. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was very good.
Yes. Do you think it's your favorite comic movie?
I don't.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if it's my favorite. I don't, cause it's been so long since I've seen the other ones. Mm. But I guess it's probably the best one that I've seen so far. Although I really like Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Well, you do have a lot Coen Brothers to watch on, but this one's probably my favorite. Yeah. Although I don't know, the other Coen Brothers movie we watched, which is the second one, that's also one of my favorites as well, even though it's not as recognized. But anyhow, we'll get to that in a minute. But I love Fargo. If you haven't seen Fargo, what the hell are you doing with your life? Don't be like Pam. Watch it. What else have you been watching?
I mean, we may as well stay on the Coen Brothers.
That's true.
Also did a double feature where we did Fargo and the Hudsucker Proxy, which is one that I had never seen before. This stars Tim Robbins, who I love. I love Tim Robbins. He's such like a lovable goofball, especially in this.
He's so dumb.
So this is like this weird kind of surreal Art Deco themed movie, and there's this big industry called Hudsucker, and right at the beginning the president or the CEO throws himself off of the building and kills himself. So they're looking for someone like kind of a fall guy to take over, and Tim Robbins ends up being that. He's like not that smart, but he's got big ideas that you don't know what they are until later. And so he becomes the CEO of this company. And it's all about sort of figuring out what's going on here. There's a fast-talking reporter who wants to investigate him and does it sort of undercover so he doesn't know that she's reporting on him. And yeah, it was also just very delightful.
I love this. This is one I picked for our double feature just because I had grown up watching this movie a crap ton. Why? I have no idea. Childhood movies are just like very weird to me. Like the ones that I hold a lot of nostalgia for. Like, why as a child am I watching Hudsucker Proxy? Yeah. I have no idea. Like, why? Like 10 years old me watching this and loving it. And him like drawing a circle and going, guys, I got the best idea. And it's a circle. And it's like, you know, for kids.
I developed it myself. Yes, Siri, this is my ticket upstairs. You know, for kids.
You know, for kids.
And that's like an ongoing theme, like a circle created so many different toys for kids, and you don't realize it until he goes, oh, I get it. It's so good. Jennifer Jason Leigh, who plays the reporter, right, that was her name? Mm-hmm. I always confuse her with Elizabeth Shue. I don't know why.
No, it's Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Jennifer Jason Leigh is amazing as the fast-talking reporter who like sympathizes for the big idiot. And just her outfits in this movie, oh, I love
They're
them.
They're nice, yes.
I love them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Bruce Campbell's in it.
I know. I so want to watch Army of Darkness now that I just like saw him for 2 seconds and such. Oh, I love Bruce Campbell. I think Sam Raimi had some contribution to this movie too, which maybe makes sense for him to be in it as well. I think he was one of the producers or something.
I feel like I saw Raimi in the movie as well. Yeah.
He was.
I think so.
No idea. But yeah, I don't love it as much as Fargo. I think Fargo is a better movie, but the surrealism, I love the stupidity and lovability of Tim Robbins. And Paul Newman plays the big bad guy. Like, come on.
Paul Newman.
I love him.
I really want to watch more Paul Newman movies. Yeah. He is so
hot.
Handsome. Holy shit. Yeah. Even in this, like, he's much older and he's still real hot. Ooh, but yeah. So we were watching the movie and I was just looking up like pictures of Paul Newman. I was like,
yes. That is a man right there.
Yeah.
That is sexy. Makes you want to buy some Paul Newman salad dressing, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's good salad dressing.
Absolutely. I just want his picture on my fridge. I love this movie. Such a great cast. Little weird, but you know what? I love weird, so who cares? Doesn't make sense.
I like weird. I like those weird, surreal things. I don't know. There's a bunch of, I don't know. I feel like there's another movie later we're going to talk about that's kind of weird. And kind of?
Yeah. But I'm glad you like these two movies. I love them. Hudsucker just holds near and dear to my heart. I love that fucking movie.
We've got so many movies. Let's do a drink break.
Fade.
What else have we watched?
What else have we watched?
Halfway through.
So the next movie we both watched. Again, I watched this. I've seen this before a couple years ago, and I saw Pam put it on the list. I was like, well, I'll rewatch this again. I fucking love this movie. I have no idea who directed this, but there's a movie called... Mike Nichols.
Mike something. Nichols. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who does a lot of great movies. Can I name one? Absolutely not, but that's fine. I know he's done a lot of very famous movies.
The Birdcage. The Graduate.
Did he really do The Birdcage?
Yep.
Oh. My bad. I should know him then.
That's 22. Yeah.
Oh my God. I know he did The Graduate. I mean, I couldn't really think of it, but I didn't. Wow. That's amazing. I love that. I love this for him. I think he was married to like one of his like famous reporters who was like on NBC News too. I don't remember her name. Anywho, that's neither here nor there. I don't even need to put that name. Anywho.
Okay.
The Closer is about pretty much Natalie Portman.
Closer.
Closer. Why am I calling it The Closer? This is not that fucking TV show. I can read. Closer is the movie. It stars Natalie Portman, Jude Law, Clive Owen, and Julia Roberts. Right? It was Clive Owen. That's his name?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Yay. Yep. Pretty much Natalie Portman and Jude Law. Natalie Portman's walking down the street looking all sexy in her like early 2000s, really punkish purple hair, pink hair, something like that.
Pixie.
Yeah. Hot. Like, whatever. And she sees Jude Law in a crowded street and she's like, hey. And then she gets hit by a car. And then so.
Because she's an American in London.
And she looked the wrong direction.
Doesn't know what way to look.
Yeah. So Jude Law runs up to her and she goes, hey, Buster. And that's her big thing, calling him Buster. And they go to the hospital and they hit it off. And she calls herself Anne, I think her name was. I'm not going to spoil it, but it's like, we're going to just call her Anne. Anywho, she gives him a name because that's part of the story.
Oh, she's Alice.
Alice. I knew it started with an A.
Julia Roberts is Anna.
Ah. Why are we having multiple A's? Let's just make it confusing for Michelle. So they hit it off a couple months later, and Jude Law's a writer. A couple months later, Jude Law is getting his picture done by Julia Roberts, Anna, because he wrote a book and he needs a picture for his book, which I'm so surprised we're taking 500 pictures for this one photo to go on a book because she's there for like, she's going boop, 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 boop. I'm like, dude, you got 10 right there. Let's move on.
Yeah.
But Jude Law is totally wants to bang Julia Roberts because she looks hot. And Julia Roberts is like, eh, I don't know. Eh, we'll see. But she then realizes that Alice is downstairs. They all meet. It's awkward. Anna takes pictures of Alice for her exhibition or whatever it is. And then they call it a day. Bye-bye. So long. But then Jude Law is a horny little, like, internet troll and goes on the internet into, like, one of those chat room things and starts chat texting, sexting Clive Owen's character. And based upon their conversation that they had when he was taking their picture, he tells this man, oh, my name's Anna. I'm going to be at the aquarium on Friday. Because he knows that somehow, reason why, I don't know, as like payback for this woman. And so Clive Owen shows up and he meets with Julia Roberts, Anna, and then they hit it off. So now we have like two couples and now we have weird triangles going all over the place. Like, it's a weird, like, I want to leave her for him and him for her. And now we're married and this and that. It's just, like, weird.
It's real complicated real fast.
Real complicated real fast. What did you think of this movie, Pam? Have you seen it before this or this your first time?
I had seen clips of it, like, throughout university. Specifically the Natalie Portman as a stripper clips.
Which she doesn't take off. You don't see boobs, so don't get excited.
You don't see anything. No, you don't see anything.
I bet you it's an ass double, too. I bet you.
And can't she really do the splits like that? But it's... I like some parts of it a lot, and some other parts. Like, I have a real bias against the whole, like, love at first sight thing. I find it very ridiculous and hard to buy into. So the fact that Jude Law and Natalie Portman immediately are like, we love each other. And then Jude Law immediately with Julia Roberts is just like, oh, I'm going to throw away everything for you. Just like, bam, like, let's do it. And so even other people are just like, I love you. Like, we just met. It's like, oh, everyone just fucking chill, please.
They all need to fucking
But I thought... Some of it was good. Like, some of the conversations in particular, like with Julia Roberts and Clive Owen, when she tells him that she's been with Jude Law, and they have this, like, really raw conversation that's, like, he keeps asking her questions like, well, did you do this? Where did you have sex? Do you like having sex with him? Do you like having sex with him more than me? Just the kind of things where it's just like, I'm asking myself these questions to hurt myself.
He really is. And yeah, I like that conversation because it's honestly things that I would like. He's saying things I know I would be thinking and probably wouldn't ask if I was in that situation, for sure. So I'd like their dynamic. Some of the other conversations that happen, I'm like, this is not how people talk.
No, no. like Clive Owen and
Natalie Portman.
Yeah. In the strip club and like, yeah, a bunch of those. Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah, entanglements. But I don't know, like all the performances were good. And yeah, like some of it like really hit and some of it was like,
Yeah. I agree. So it's very highs and lows. Like some of it feels really like, oh, wow, we're going there. And then others, it's like, fuck you. This is stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. But overall, I think it's a good movie. I think it's very well done. I like that director. Obviously, even did Birdcage. He's just like the most amazing director ever, apparently. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was okay. I don't know. I really, I kind of like, why are we both coughing tonight? Random choking. I really do love, and I guess this is sort of a spoiler, but she says it in the first couple minutes. Natalie Portman says, like, if I don't love you anymore, it just happens. It just stops. I just don't love you anymore. Like on a flick of a switch, I was like, damn, this girl's cold-hearted bitch. And she does it in the movie. I'm like, damn. Mm-hmm. So I did like that about her, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. It's fine. It's good.
Mm-hmm. It's all right. Yeah.
What else have you been watching?
So I watched Bad Times at the El Royale, which I've had on my watch list for a while. This is directed by Drew Goddard, who I think the only other movie he's directed is Cabin in the Woods. And I can definitely see a lot of, like, similarities. Not necessarily in... type of, mostly with double mirrors. So it's 1969 and seven people arrive at this motel that is straddling Nevada and another state.
California?
I don't remember which one.
Arizona?
Utah? Yeah, I think it's California. I think it's California, Nevada. And they've all got secrets, like John Hamm is there, and he's investigating things, and there's a singer there who is amazing, who sings a lot during the movie. There's a priest, and as things go, you find everyone's got a secret. Everyone's in this hotel for different reasons, and they're all sort of colliding in what's going on. Dakota Johnson shows up, and she's kidnapped a young girl, and no one knows why. And it's just kind of a weird movie where, like, just unraveling the layers of who everyone actually is and what's going down at this hotel, and then... other outside actors come in to just, like, mess things up in the last third of it. I thought it was really fun. I thought it was a really entertaining movie.
I've heard of this movie before, but I've never seen it. But it kind of seems like one of those movies that's, like, a group of misfit characters all in one place. Mm-hmm. And we all got a situation where we all have to handle it in our own weird ways. Like, what is the movie that the... Hateful Eight, like I kind of feel like that, just like we're all stuck in this place together. Yeah. Let's get this together, kids.
Yeah. It gets like, I was looking at reviews of it on Letterboxd, and a lot of people compare it to Tarantino. I find the dialogue less annoying than Tarantino. I can see some similarities.
Cool though. I feel like it was very colorful whenever I see the trailers of it. Is it very well, like a nice looking movie? Is it like.
Yeah, it looks really good. The cinematography is great. Like everything's kind of like nicely like saturated and yeah, it looks really good.
Nice. fun. I'll have to watch it sometime.
Yeah, it was fun.
What is the last movie we watched?
Last movie.
The Academy Awards just happened, and this movie was nominated for a couple Academy Awards. The movie is Poor Things. And of course, because it was the Academy Awards just happened, they released it onto like Hulu. Hulu here in the States. I don't know why we watched it up there in Canada. But so Poor Things with Emma Stone and gonna forget everybody else's name in it, but that's fine because it's
Mark Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo, that's what it is.
Yeah, he's the other main guy.
Oh, Willem Dafoe.
What's his face? Willem Dafoe, yeah.
That's what it, I forgot. Mm-hmm. I didn't even realize Willem Dafoe was in this until I started watching it. I was like, oh, that's Willem Dafoe. Yeah. So, how do you describe Poor Things? Oh my God. So, Poor Things is a Yorgo Lanthimos name of dude because he's Greek and I'm butchering that fucking name.
Yeah. He did The Lobster, which I found delightful.
Love The Lobster. The Favorite as well. I really like The Favorite. The Killing of the Sacred Deer, I think. Yeah, that one, which I have not seen.
That one, but
I would love to see that, especially based off this director. So this is about a surgeon, Willem Dafoe, who's just like fucked up beyond recognition in terms of like he's got scars all over his face because he was incredibly abused as a child because his father was a brilliant surgeon who decided to do things to his son to test things, which is gets real dark. It's sort of like little snippets throughout the movie. Anywho, the movie starts off with woman shown to the back, looks like Emma Stone, if you think, jumps off a bridge into the river. Willem Dafoe takes a woman into his care.
His laboratory.
Laboratory to be Frankenstein and to bring this dead body back to life. So Dr. Frankenstein is now just like taking care of this woman who the progression of the movie is in the colors and such. It starts off in black and white because apparently we as humans see in black and white the first couple months of our lives. So when you see the woman at first, Emma Stone's character, she's like a child. And as she progresses and as she grows and matures, the colors start coming in and more realism of things coming in. So it's almost like that kind of like idyllic, like bright, you know, experiencing things for the first time. So she's in a full-grown human body, but
full-grown human woman. But like at the beginning, like she's not even verbal. Mm-hmm. Like she has very bad motor skills. Like she's just sort of flailing around the house, sort of making noises, and then she sort of develops from there mentally.
Yes. And this shit gets wild. There's boobies for days. Just lots of sex.
Yes.
Lots of...
Yeah. So she's this... she's basically Frankenstein's monster, except less monstrous. And so he hires a doctor to come and just... document everything.
Yes.
Like, how is she growing? How is she progressing? What's happening? And then once she gets to a certain point, she decides, like, she doesn't want to just be in this house all the time. She wants to go out and discover the world. And Mark Ruffalo is this sketchy, sketchy dude who's like, oh, I'll show you the world.
Let me show you my penis.
So he takes her around, or to her start of the world. And as she's going, so sex is a huge part of it. Even before he comes into it, she's just like, oh, I can touch myself and it feels good. Nice. Like, can I show you? Do you want to see? Like,
let me.
But then
I'll suck this cucumber up me at the dinner table. Everything's fine.
It's fine. Yeah. And then so she goes and she travels around with him. She's very, very sexual, but also she's like, as she's going, she's reading. She's reading philosophers. She's learning about the world. And she's like, well, I kind of feel like you're holding me back now. I have, you know, other people to teach me and I can go off on my own way. So it's basically another sort of coming of age story about this monster and how she makes her way through the world without having a great sense of like decorum that is put into people at that time, because mm-hmm. it's sort of a, like, it seems like a historical kind of time period, but then there's also like weird steampunky things in it. So
yeah, it felt very steampunky. Like, it's not, I think it's a feel supposed to feel that surreal, because obviously this is not, you know, but I really like the steampunkiness of it. The outfits are amazing. The clothes and the sailor outfits. So good.
Oh my God. Some of them are so good. And then there's some like just big jacket with big sleeves and shorts, and then just like little tiny shorts. Like
these little like flappery shorts. I'm like, nobody's legs looks good in that. I don't care who you are. What is happening here? Their coats are great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I liked this movie a lot. I thought it was very interesting, very beautifully shot. Even like the skies, the skies are gorgeous, the colors, especially as when you realize like her transition and her progression into her brain is expanding and growing, the colors, sometimes the colors get more vibrant or like that kind of, it's a progression and it's beautifully shot. Some of them don't even feel like I know they was all shot in like a studio, but it was just so beautiful. Some of the scenes and the colors. I was in awe of that. And Emma Stone, of course, was fantastic. She won an Academy Award for Best Actress for this role. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel a lot. I mean, the Academy, I'm not a huge fan of the Oscars in terms of like, oh, they won Best Actress. I mean, like, sometimes it's the role and how you do things that will get you that Oscar versus other actors. But I think she did a really great job. I really liked Mark Ruffalo. I also thought he did a great job, especially the turn that his character takes. He turns into an obsessive ex-boyfriend. It's so funny.
At first he's like, I'm just here to show you a good time.
And she's like, okay.
Don't leave me.
I can't live without you. And she's like, God, bitch, go away. I love that
cramp in my style. I really liked this. I thought everything about it was great. I thought that Bella was just like delightful. I love the way she spoke and, you know, how she sort of learned about the world and interpreted the things that she was learning about. I thought it was great. There's been a bunch of like discourse about this, about like, oh, a man wrote it and a man directed it and they just made her super sexual. It's like, so?
that's your point.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, God forbid a woman is sexual. I mean, God forbid a woman who wants to have sex and explore sex in that aspect. Oh my God, God forbid. Like, really? They think women don't have that or appreciate that?
Yeah.
They're insane. Fucking insane. That's a man saying that.
Yeah.
But maybe just because your woman doesn't want to have sex
I thought it was great.
I also thought it was great. I thought the best line of the movie. One moment, please, while I go punch that screaming baby.
I must go punch that baby.
That was my favorite. Excuse me, I have to go punch that child. Like,
she's like, walking down there like this. Do that. Like, yeah. I'm like, oh my God, that's me. I love Bella. Her just like vision of that, like, oh my God, that's annoying. That needs to stop. Like, yes, it does.
That needs to stop. Yes. And this is the way I can stop it.
I need to go punch a baby. So good. I even liked,
although it probably wouldn't stop it from screaming, but
no, you probably wouldn't, but you know what? It'd feel real good. Not definitely not socially appropriate. You'd definitely get kicked out, but you know what? Worth it. Oh my God.
I love that whole scene when they were having dinner there and he was telling her, "You're not being appropriate. These are the responses you can say." And then she just uses them in the most inappropriate ways. Like, "My father just died. Oh, this is delightful." Like,
such an interesting, fun movie. The dialogues and Bella, like, such a great character. And I really enjoyed it. I'm so glad I watched it. I thought,
yeah,
it's so and it's so different. His movies are so
different. Always so weird, and I love them. Yeah. Like The Lobster, I know we talked about it in another episode, but it was just like such a fucking weird movie, but it was so good. Like the concept was weird, the execution was weird, but
but it's done in a way it's like, oh, like it's so interesting. Like there's definitely straight direction and a singular vision that this director has, and I just fucking love it. He's so unique.
Yep.
I'd rather have that than, like, I haven't seen Oppenheimer. I don't know how much I'm going to watch of it. But, like, movies like that, like, where it's, you know, I know what I'm going to get into with that. I didn't no idea what I was getting into when I was watching Poor Things. Zero. I'd rather have a surprise like that, something unique and different, rather than the same fucking thing. Like, all right. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I like to be surprised.
I'd like to be surprised. Like, I know Oppenheimer's probably a very good movie, but it's not going to blow my hair back in terms of, like, originality. No. And it's probably not intended to, but I would probably argue that the cinematography in Oppenheimer is as good as Poor Things just because of the colors and the depth and the way things are laid out, the production design, you know? Like, oh, God. So yeah, is that all the movies? Did we finally do it?
Is that all the movies? I think we're finally done the movies.
10 movies we watched? Is that how many?
Another long episode, isn't it? Yeah. Yep. We watched nine movies.
Nine? I can't count.
We have way less games. Way less games.
Way less games. Let's go through games. Let's go.
So yeah, let's go through games. What have we been playing? What have you played lately?
Okay, well, we'll do the first two card games that we do because there are two card games on here. I did Hell Card, which is a co-op Slay the Spire inspired game. And so you play, it's three player co-op, or I guess you can do it singular. And you have like a top-down view, pretty top-down kind-of-ish view of your characters, and you have different classes. So all three of us were different classes. And I was a mage, because why not? And you have, I don't know, 20 enemies surrounding you. And there are spheres, and you use the cards like Slay the Spire in order to attack, defend based upon what the enemies are doing around you on your turn. So very, very much like Slay the Spire. Mm-hmm. So you like play your card based upon what the other character is doing. And it was fun. Mm-hmm. It was fine. I think once you get the communication down with your other characters or with your other players, you can just really just start housing things and really just easily demolish. But I thought it was fine. I don't think it's better than Slay the Spire because after playing that, I dabbled into Slay the Spire a little bit. I'm like, oh, this is crispier. This is more well done. This is how it should be. Like there was a couple items like cards. Like if I upgraded my lightning attack to like a +2 or whatever, if I played that card, it would still say just +1. So it wouldn't like show me that it was upgraded. I have to see in like a tiny little text that I can't really fucking see. So that was kind of annoying versus Slay of the Spire. It shows you like, this is how much you would hit. This is, you know, you can actually see it. So, so it was fine. It was, for co-op, absolutely it was fun. By yourself, fuck off. Play Slay of the Spire. What card game have you been playing?
So I gave into the hype and I bought Balatro, which is what everyone's playing right now. It's apparently sold incredibly well in the last little while. And this is basically poker, except with multipliers. You can get these jokers that make certain hands and make a joker. It's like if you play odd cards, you get a score multiplier, or if you only play a hand with three cards or less, you get a multiplier. There's like a ton of them. Ways to make money. You can get like boosters. You can transform your deck, like change some cards into other cards. But yeah, you're basically just going through these. There's eight levels, eight antes, and you're going through the small blind, the big blind. I don't remember the
super big blind. I forget what it was called. Yeah, the boss blind.
Yeah,
I don't boss remember blind.
But yeah, boss blind. Which so each time, like, there's not really enemies. It's just every level you have to get a certain score, and that's it. And then the boss blind, you have to get a certain score, but they put a penalty on you. So you're just trying to build a deck. And first of all, one of the things I've felt more disconnected from people than ever, I've listened to a bunch of people talk to this on podcasts, and people don't know how to play poker.
People don't know what a flush is. People don't know what a straight is.
People don't know
what
a flush is. People don't know, like, the order of hands. And I was like, I've known this since I was, like, four. Like, what are you doing? But yeah, it's basically just poker, except rather than getting five cards, I think eight is the default.
And yeah, then it's
discard
a lot.
And but then you only make a hand of five cards. So I got this game on a Saturday, and I sat down. I actually moved my recliner chair because I had been playing on my retro setup, and I was like, oh, this recliner is amazing. I moved my coffee table, I moved my recliner in front of my big TV, and I sat in front of my television and played Balatro for like 6 hours on a Saturday. So it was very addictive. Again, I have a thing. It's like, is this fun? Is this addictive? And it's like, it was fun for a bit. And then once I won a round, I was like, oh, you just have to put everything you have into one single hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I was like, okay. And then I played again and I won that one. And I was like, well, I'm bored now. Because I have never been a make numbers go up player. Like, I don't give a shit about high scores or whatever. I don't need 10 billion points. If I just, like, get to the end and it says, you won, I'm like, yay. Yay me.
I did it.
What's next? Like,
where's my credits?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I downloaded this as well because I saw that you had started playing it and everybody and their mom started playing it. And I was like,
yeah.
Oh, it's poker. Well, that should be fun, right? And I played it for a couple hours and I hit that wall as well. Like, once I got to the new deck and I was like, oh, we're just going to keep doing this.
Oh, yeah, we're just going to keep doing it.
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
Like, I've heard people be like, wow, I got 10 billion points. I was like, I don't care.
I don't care about points.
No.
I mean, it's definitely fun. You definitely hit that, like, endorphin thing, like, where you're just like, you get a good joker, you get a good round. You're like, ooh,
ding, 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 ding.
Your score is flashing. And,
yeah.
I can beat this thing in one round, like one hand. Boom. Mm-hmm. Next blind. Let's go.
But I did feel very much like once I had beat it a couple times, like, I don't need to go to the next chip level. I don't need to play the next color deck. Like, I just, it's very similar. And I was just like, I had a good, probably, I don't know, 10 hours with the game.
Yeah.
Now I'm done.
Now I'm done. Now I don't need to spend 50 on this game. I'm good. Mm-hmm. Good.
Exactly.
We're good.
Yeah.
Is it worth the $15, though, for that 10 hours? Do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's a really nice game, too, if you're like, I got 20 minutes. Let's just, I mean, even though the hands are long, because they feel like they can get really long. I'm just like, I'll just tool around, like, play some poker.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Not sure.
You always go back to it later. It's not too, like, hard. You can leave in the middle of the run and come back, and it's, like, just, you were like, oh, I'm doing full houses this run, and that's really all you need to know.
That's not what I'm doing now.
Where you leave in the middle of a run, and then you're like, what was I doing? What build am I doing? What cards do I have? Like,
Yeah, I agree. It was fun. It was fine. It was fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What else have you played?
So I started and I decided to drop off this game because PlayStation's bitch. I was playing Cladoka on Stream. Cladoka is the prequel to Shadow Hearts, which is Shadow Hearts, I know, is one of your favorite, like, JRPGs. And
sure is.
Kaladoka is fantastic. It was good. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, Kaladoka is a very good game. I just think the load times and the battle system, and then at one, you get to a point where you have all of these things. You have a billion items, and you have an item limit, like an inventory limit, and I have to go around to figure out the puzzles to get rid of my items so I can progress or get the things or something.
Yeah.
But anytime I pick up a new item, it's like, oh, what item do you want to get rid of? And I'm like,
what do you want to get rid of? Ugh.
I'm like, fuck you. I've got puzzles to solve here, bitch. Give me this so I can go figure out a puzzle. So I just start dropping weapons and I'm like, I'm fucking myself over. I know it right now. And I'm running in circles in this fucking castle. And I was like, nope, I know where this is going.
This is not like a storage area or anything.
Ugh. No, you just drop your shit. So I just start dropping weapons, and the weapons break when you master them, which they don't tell you. This is also a problem with the game. They don't tell, like, I had to look this up because I'd use a knife, and after a while, the knife would break. And I'm like, oh, we've got weapon management here, like fucking Ocarina of Time or whatever it is. Like, I'm like, cool. No, it means you've mastered it. So if you use another knife, you'll get like more hit points or whatever. But like, I need to save that knife because I've got one other knife. So I'm going to use another item. But then I use those items, like, and then I'm dropping other weapons and I'm like, I'm putting myself in a hole here, kids. I can feel it. I soft locking. We're going to soft lock. I can feel it. And so the whole running around as well, like you just run around in circles in the same, at some point, the castle. And I just, I can't. I'm going to, hopefully I'll finish it eventually someday. But for now, it's going to be on the backlog because the load times of course, PlayStation, going into battle takes fucking forever. Completing a battle takes fucking forever. The best part of the game is the voice acting because they're using actual theater actors to do this. And it's absolutely mind-blowing how good it is compared to every other
game. Anything on PS1.
Anything. Even some PS2. Like, I started Indigo Prophecy right after it. Yeah. And it's better than Indigo Prophecy. And I'm like, fuck. Just need subtitles and I'm there.
I think they recorded it also like all the actors in a room like reacting to each other. So it wasn't like they were just reading their own things.
It's so good. It blows your fucking mind. Oh, so unfortunately, I think it's just the gameplay itself that's just making me fall off a little bit of the puzzle solving running around. But otherwise, it's a good game. I'm not saying it's a bad game I'm dropping off. It's the quality of life things that making me drop off. So, which is fine. Yeah. It happens. So, what else have you been playing?
So, I just finished today Banishers Ghosts of New Eden. And this is one of the latest games from Don't Nod. It just came out earlier this year. I was very excited about it. You play these ghost banishers in like Puritan Boston area. And so there's just ghosts everywhere and you have to like find out what is tying them to this plane of existence and who they're haunting and figure out what to do. So this is not really a spoiler. If you've watched a trailer or have even seen the image of the game, you're two people. You're playing a husband and wife team of banishers and the wife dies. So she's a ghost. So she is with you as a ghost because she's still tied to this world. But you're going through and deciding, like, how you want to deal with her. Like, if you want to ascend her ghost or if you want to bring her back to life. Which, so all through the intro, it's like, death to the dead. Ghosts, get the fuck out of here. But then your wife dies and you're like, oh, but maybe I could bring you back to life.
Oh my God.
So I was like, I knew. I was like, this is probably not going to end well. But I love you. I'm going to bring you back to life.
You're going to be the same when you come back, I swear.
Yeah. Everything's going to be fine. It'll be different for us. Mm-hmm. For us, it'll be different. Mm-hmm. So you're just going through and you're finding out more about this president who killed your wife. You're going to all these little settlements and you're solving all these hauntings and deciding whether you want to... You can, like, ascend a ghost, which is, like, send them to heaven or whatever... Banish a ghost, which is like destroy their soul, or blame the person that they're haunting, the living person, and just kill them.
I love that option.
And so I really like a lot of these hauntings are very interesting stories. They're all very morally gray areas. A lot of it's just people in bad situations that don't have any other choice, but no one is ever truly innocent. So which way you want to go is, you know, sort of up in the air for every case. So I really liked the writing. The world was very nice. I really liked how you were playing. First of all, you were Scottish, which, like, there's not enough heroes with Scottish accents.
I need more Patrick Stewart. Oh my god. Mm-hmm.
but then your ghost wife is just here commenting on everything and helping you through everything. It was just like, it was nice. It was way too long. Mm-hmm. Which is partially because I just kept doing side quests because I really liked all these haunting stories. But it could have ended way, 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 way sooner. I also could have ended it way, way sooner. But like, there was too much game. But I generally enjoyed it a lot.
So did you play Chaos, Pam? Did you kill all the people and blame the people?
So I just went by what I thought of each class. So it said, if you want to bring your wife back, you need to blame as many people as possible. And so some people I was like, nope, you deserve to be blamed. And some people I was like, no, I think you're okay. I'll just get rid of your ghost. So, you know, it was a little a hodgepodge of reactions, which I think was probably actually the worst thing I could have done, not just picking a route and sticking to it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I hate that, though, because I'm just like, sometimes you get a good character and you're like, no, I don't want to kill you.
Mm-hmm. No, you don't deserve to die.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Don't play that sympathy card on me game. Come on.
Exactly.
Mm-mm. Love it, though. Yeah. I love playing. I can't ever be evil in games. Can you be evil? I can't be evil. What's wrong with me?
I can sometimes. Oh, I can be a little evil.
I want to be evil, Pam. Teach me your evil ways. <I'll try. laughs> The last game we played together, mm-hmm. co-op. We just finished it last night. All right, we're calling this a beat.
Just finished it. This is a beat, for sure.
This is a fucking beat. All right, we played Plate Up, which is a... roguelite restaurateur game where you play a bunch of little wobbly Fall Guys dudes that open a restaurant and try to survive the stupidity of guests. And you can upgrade your equipment, you can upgrade your tables. It's very much like Overcooked, except instead of different recipes, you can always stick to the same recipe if you wanted to, but you can use different layouts, you can upgrade your equipment, so there's upgradable things in order to make your run better. And each run, you gain levels and things, so you can get better. I don't know if the levels really did anything, I just felt like we progressively got better as a team, and so it was fun. I thought we had a really good time with this. I'm upset, though, that it doesn't end. At all.
No.
Ever. Never.
Yeah, you go through the game and you're getting up to a 5-star restaurant. And so last night we got to a 5-star restaurant and then it was like, now you're a franchise. It was like, oh, okay. Although the game also doesn't have a start. Like when you load the game, there's no start screen. There's no anything. You're just in the you're in your base.
Hub.
It's like,
It's weird. It's very weird. I feel like there could be at least a start thing. I always feel like I did this wrong because I'm like, are we in the right thing? Like, we're starting from, I mean, it's a roguelite, but I feel like you don't keep your levels or keep your things at all, you know, like so you can feel some progression.
So mm-hmm. it's just weird. There's a disconnect there, I feel like, a little bit. You know, like, I just felt mm-hmm. like we got better because we as a team got better with our
yeah.
well-oiled machine. Like, Pam was the cook. Also, I was the dishwasher.
Also, just our recipe, though. Like, I think if we had have had anything that had more than one option, we would have been fucked. Like, the only fucked. Reason we got it is because we had pizza and we were like, never any other toppings. That's why we won.
Yes. Yeah. Because once we figured out that they can order different toppings, and then we're like, oh, fuck. Well, now we have to make two different
pizzas. And then you have to cook two separate pizzas in your one oven and your limited counter space. Like, nope.
Nope.
That's not a good idea.
So anytime that was an option, we're like, I don't give a fuck what the other option is, but we're not doing that. mm-hmm. So that's the trick of the game there.
yeah. But it was good, because the first time we played it, I thought, this is impossible. Like, we'd mm-hmm. get to maybe not one even star. 2 stars, and then it would just be like, bam, you lose. Like, oh, I don't know how we could have improved on that, but we did. We did improve over time.
We did. We got real good at it. Eventually, after a while, we had our silent, we knew what each other was going to do. Yeah. Like, I would help you chop. You'd go get the pizza. You'd go chop the pizza. I'd start the next pizza. Then I'd go do dishes. You'd go do that. Like, we knew exactly what we were all going to do at one point, and it was great.
Yeah.
But it doesn't end. So it ended for us.
It ended for us. Yeah. We've called that one a win.
So. Mm-hmm. We got 5 stars. Mm-hmm. We're a 5-star Michelin star restaurant. You need to come dine at Slice Baby.
Slice Baby, yeah. I'm pretty sure you can only get 3 Michelin stars, but we have 5. So.
We have 5, so fuck y'all. Yeah. This is our pizza.
We're the best plain cheese pizza joint in the world.
Ever seen. You want seconds to? At one point, people could have second helpings or share one piece of pizza. Or I was like, who the fuck does that?
Yeah. Who's paying for this?
No. But it was fun. I really like the I mean, I'd like those kind of games for us. Like, Overcooked is a classic for us. And I think, I don't know if this is as good as Overcooked, honestly. I don't think so.
I didn't like it as much as Overcooked. Like, Overcooked was way more hectic, but I like that it was a progression. Mm-hmm. And you'd get, like, new restaurants and new recipes. Whereas this, the way to win, kind of like Bellagio, you pick your one thing and you specialize it and you try to get good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun, though. I'm glad we played it. Yep. It was worth it, for sure. I liked it. Good co-op game.
But yeah. Yeah, it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I think that's all the games. Do you have any pickups?
I do, but I'm going to do a quick edit. Okay, what did I get?
Whew. What did you get?
What did I get? All right, so I actually got a game, and I got a physical edition of a game, because I know... Ooh. You have started playing this game as a demo. I have not started this yet because Final Fantasy Rebirth is going to be my life for the next, like, 2 weeks until I'm beelining this bitch. So I'm going to get it done in, like, 50 hours. Fuck this 100 hours bullshit. So I got Unicorn Overlord on the PS5, which is a, what is this? It's a Valhalla.
It's a
tactical. Vanillaware. I'm like, why is it Valhalla? Why am I thinking Valhalla? Because Odin's Sphere was like Valhalla-y. Anywho, super jiggly boobs producers or game makers. Mm-hmm. Like Dragon's Crown. Dragon's Crown or Demon's Crown? Dragon's Crown?
Dragon's Crown.
Dragon's Crown. And Odin's Sphere. So super jiggly. Although I don't know if they're super jiggly in this one, but I love the fun little anime art. Yeah, so I got that on the PS5, so I'm very excited to play that whenever I can spare a moment to pull myself away from Final Fantasy fucking 7 Rebirth and that ridiculousness, because that's insane. I also got, because I cannot resist ever anything from this, is I got Castlevania Smash Brothers, because... Mm-hmm. Apparently I'm a big Smash, not only Smash, even though my sister will con me into fucking anything to buy, like, fucking vinyl. She conned me into pre-ordering Vampire Survivors today, so that's my life. But this, I love, the guy who does these is amazing. Like, I feel like every vinyl is beautifully done. All the great, packaging, all fantastic. So I'm always... I'm never going to say no. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. they're all so good. And so the last one that I got is Truxton. Did you ever play Truxton?
Yep.
You did? Oh, that's I've never mm-hmm. played Truxton. I still buy the fucking vinyl. I've never played this before. So context. My father was in the Navy, and he was stationed on a cruiser called Truxton. So he's been on the hunt for the game Truxton, to a good copy of the Truxton, because he was stationed on the Truxton for 4 years. And that makes sense, right? So I saw the vinyl. I was like, damn, I gotta get it. He's like, why? I'm like, I don't know. Because it's pink.
Do you know, because so the soundtrack for the Genesis versus the arcade versus the Turbo Graphics is different. Like, it's at different speeds. Do you know what, do you know which version it is?
No. Absolutely not. It's done by Limited Run. That's all I know. I saw it in a store.
Okay.
So I didn't actually order it from Limited Run. I saw it at a video game store. And so, no idea. It sounds fun, though. I don't know. I played it once. I was like, oh, cool. Bouncy shooter music. Nope. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Not a nerd enough. All right. Made my dad That's happy. Right.
That's good.
Did you have any pickups?
I didn't pick up anything.
That's okay. Don't be like Michelle. Mm-hmm. Don't. I have too many pre-orders. I was looking at all my pre-orders today, the other day, because we were talking about it in the Discord. Michelle's out of control.
Yeah. I just have two pre-orders, I think.
I got like four or five now at this point. I forget how many it is. I got some good ones coming, though, so I'm excited.
Yeah.
That's good. That's an episode.
That's an episode. We talked about so many movies.
Movies.
So go watch many movies.
Movies. But thank you for listening, everyone. If you want to talk to us, leave us a comment on our YouTube video, because both Pam and I both look at these things.
Yep.
Pam really does. I feel like you look at it sometimes more than I do, and I'm like, damn, Pam already in there. I'm like,
I do. I don't even have access to the account. And I'm just in there.
I don't even know how to give you access to the account. I don't know. So we'll figure that out someday. But we also have a subreddit, r/polymedia. But leave us a comment on YouTube.
And if you like what you heard here and you want to check out some more fun podcasts about video games or movies or, I don't know, Goosebumps
stuff.
Or something else, check out polymedianetwork.com.
And drink well, my friends, because we're empty.
We are empty. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.